Okay, so welcome to our Shir Anach. We're going to start with Sefer Yehoshua. I'm very excited about this. It's a little bit of a different topic than we've been doing the last couple of years. We've been focused more on halacha. This is more of a totally different focus, which to me is exciting. Now, in terms of how it's going to work, so today will be a little bit different than the classic Shir, just because anytime you begin something, it's always important to put it in the right framework. So everything deserves an introduction. So we'll dedicate one shir today to mostly, we'll see at the end, maybe we'll have time to actually start the psukim, but we'll dedicate one shir just to, just as an introduction to, number one, the study of Tanakh in general, study of Nach, I should say, the top part, the Torah part. We're pretty good at studying. We study it every week. But in terms of studying Nach, we'll talk a little bit about that in general, and then we'll focus on Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua as a person, and Sefer Yehoshua, after all, we are starting with Sefer Yehoshua. In terms of the pace, so we'll see a little bit how it goes, but my guess right now is that we're going to probably cover a perek in about two shiurim. So we're going to be moving at a relatively quick clip. We're not going to be just, doing literally pasuk word by word. I think that'll be a little bit too tedious. So we'll move a little bit quickly, probably a half a parak, per night, per shir, and we'll try to move through Sefer Yehoshua. It's 18 prakim, so it'll take us some time, but we'll try to move through it that way. If we move a little quicker, then, also good. We will be reading the psukim inside. You don't have to bring, like, a mikros gedolos. Tonight we're not going to be using the text so much, but I did just put on the back, if you'll see, I did put on the psukim. So maybe I'll try to do that. As for those who don't have a text to bring, if you want to bring your own text, then you're more than welcome to. But we'll probably be reading through the psukim and then, discussing many of the points outside, as opposed to inside. Okay, tonight, like I said, will be a little bit different just because it's more of an introduction. When I was in YU, so one of my semesters, I attended Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig's shir. And for those of you who know Rabbi Rosenzweig or ever have had interaction with Rabbi Rosenzweig, he's an incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham, and a very, very bright person. And he gives an introduction every year to the Masechta that we're learning. So, you think an introduction is, maybe one shiur, two shiurim. He gives usually like a 2-3 week introduction to whatever Masechta. Meanwhile, all of you have a shiurim in the yeshiva are already in Daf Hei, Daf Vav. And he's introducing the Masechta, because introductions are important. Putting things in the proper context are important. So when we think about learning Nach, it's very interesting. There's a fascinating Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara says, it actually is analyzing a pasuk that we find in Parshas Mishpatim. And the Gemara says in source number 1, Ve'etna lecha es luchos ha'evin ve'hatorah ve'hamitzvah asher kosavti lahorosa. So the Torah says, Hashem says, I'm going to give you the luchos, the stone luchos, the Torah, the mitzvah, that I wrote to guide you. And there are many different things, many different elements listed in this pasuk. You have luchos ha'evin, Torah, mitzvah. What are all these things? So the Gemara goes on to explain that the luchos refers to, obviously, the aseres hadibros, as I imagine most of us would have guessed. Torah, when we have the word Torah, refers to mikra, refers to psukim, right? The psukim in the Torah. What's v'ha mitzvah? Zu mishnah. V'ha mitzvah refers to mishnah, refers to the rabbi's explanations of the Torah, of the psukim. Asher kasavti, writes the Gemara, elu nevi'im uksuvim. This is a reference to Nach. This is a reference to nevi'im uksuvim. Lahoro sam ze Talmud. This is a reference to Talmud. Now, normally when we say Talmud, we refer to the Gemara. Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, we refer to the Gemara. Obviously, when the Gemara was saying Talmud, it didn't mean the Gemara, because it didn't exist yet, right? The Gemara can't be describing itself. So when it says Talmud, it just means the study of the Mishnah, the analyzing of the Mishnah. What's really fascinating is the finale here. How does the Gemara conclude? Melamed shekulam nitnu lemoshe misinai. This teaches us that all of these things were given to Moshe at Har Sinai, which is a fascinating concept. And almost a very confusing concept. What do you mean all these things were given to Moshe at Har Sinai? Torah, I get, I understand. Luchos, okay, I understand. Right? Torah, I understand. Everything, you could say all of the Torah was given in Har Sinai, all the mitzvot were given in Har Sinai, all of these things were given in Har Sinai, that I understand. But Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Mishnah, Talmud, this was all given to Moshe at Har Sinai. Now, I don't want to focus too much on the Torah Shabbat Peh aspect. We spoke about that once. We could talk about it another time also. But let's just focus on Nevi'im Uksuvim tonight. You know, Nevi'im Uksuvim, what do you mean it was given to Moshe at Har Sinai? Now, we know that that's really impossible because Nevi'im Uksuvim were describing events that had not yet happened. Right? Nevi'im Uksuvim were describing things that were going to come much later, things that Moshe really had no clue about. So what do you mean that they were given to Moshe at Har Sinai? So let's try to explain this. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has an explanation, which I think is really eye-opening when we think about Tanakh, and he uses the following sources to develop his explanation. There's a famous Gemara in Megillah, and this Gemara is often quoted when focusing on the study of Tanakh, and the Gemara says, you know, we had many nevuos throughout history. There were many nevi'im, there were many prophecies, there were prophets, there were prophecies, there were many things that were delivered to the Jewish people. So how do we decide, as Jews, how do we decide what was included formally in Tanakh, right, in the academic language, what was canonized as part of Tanakh, and what was not? How do we decide which nevuos were included, which nevuos were excluded? And the Gemara in Megillah tells us, Kedetanya, Harbi Nevi'im Amdu Lahem LeYisrael Kiflaim Kiyotzei Mitzrayim. A wild statement. Almost double the number of people that came out of Mitzrayim. Again, I'm not sure if that's a literal statement or it's just describing that there were many, many people. There were many Nevi'im, many prophets throughout our history. So how do we know? So which ones were recorded? Ela, Nevuah Shehutzracha L'doros Nichtava. A Nevuah, a prophecy that was necessary for generations, that was necessary for the future, that was written down. That was recorded. V'shalo Hutzracha Lo Nichtava. But if we had some sort of a Nevuah that was maybe important for that time, it was important for that moment, it was important for that era in history, but it wasn't really important for the future, it wasn't important for future generations, so that Nevuah was not recorded. Only Nevuahs that were Ledoros, that were necessary for eternity, for generations of Jews, those Nevuahs were recorded. So we see this incredible importance of Nach, right? Let's focus on Nevi'im for a moment. We see the incredible significance and importance of Nach. These are not just stories. These are not just anecdotes, they're not just stories, it's not just a book of history, of Jewish history, of things that happened, and how, you know, people reacted, and the mistakes that people made, and the good things that people did. That's not what Tanakh is. Tanakh, of course, includes that, but Tanakh is so much more. Tanakh is Nevuah L'doros. Tanakh are lessons for eternity, they're lessons for generations, they're lessons for Jews to constantly glean information and lessons and morals and values from these stories. So it's very clear that we have an incredible significance to Tanakh. Again, not just that it was given to Moshe at Har Sinai, which is what the Gemara seems to imply in Brachos, but even as the Gemara in Megillah says, forgetting about that for a minute, but just the fact that it's so crucial that everything that was recorded was necessary for eternity. Everything that was recorded was as necessary for us as it was when it was written. It was as apropos for us as it was when it was written. I remember, you know, when I first studied the Mesilas Yesharim, which is one of the classic Musar works by the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato. So I still remember as a young man, I was reading it for the first time. I got it from my bar mitzvah. One of my rabbis gave it to me for my bar mitzvah. I think I cracked it open, you know, maybe once in 9th or 10th grade. I had no idea what it was talking about. And then later, you know, I began to you know, as I matured, I began to learn it a little bit more. And I remember reading it and thinking, I mean, this was written in the 1700s. And I remember reading it and just thinking to myself, you know, this could have been written today. Everything that he's writing, it could have been written today. Obviously, the technology is different and there were no cars on the street. But in terms of the life lessons, in terms of character development, these were all things that could have been written today. But they were written, you know, 300-400 years ago. And that's the way, says the Gemara, that's what Nevi'im is about. Nevi'im, of course, Nevi'im were written, you know, back when they happened. Right, in the Gemara, another Gemara Bava Basra describes who wrote each Sefer of Nevi'im. So they were recorded as they were happening. But at the same, but they weren't just then. They weren't just historical records. They weren't just, you know, lessons about things that had happened. But these were lessons. These are values. These are morals. These are things that we're supposed to glean even today in 2017. Tav Shana and Ches, we're supposed to glean these lessons today. Yeah.
What about the five Megillos? Where do they fit into the picture here?
That's Ksuvim, right? That's Ksuvim. We're not focusing as much on Ksuvim, but Ksuvim is similar. It's not, I mean, Ksuvim is not Nevuah, right? It's not Nevuah. You know, in Yehoshua, you have actual Nevuah. You have things that were Nevuah. So in Ksuvim, you don't have, it's not Nevuah. It is recorded stories. And of course, there are lessons to be gleaned from those things as well. It's on a slightly different scale than Nevi'im. But it's also treated with Kiddush, and obviously that's something that was, you know, that we believe was written with Ruach HaKodesh, which, for lack of a better definition, will translate as divine inspiration. You know, so it wasn't prophecy, but it was, the writer was divinely inspired. As opposed to other works which were not canonized in Tanakh, we believe were written maybe by great men, but not, you know, not divinely inspired. There's a really, really fascinating Gemara. I did not know, the other Gemaras I had heard about. This Gemara I had never even heard about. I never knew about this Gemara. Actually, I mean, it's in the Darim, so I must have learned it at some point. I learned the Darim, but I must have learned it at some point. But I forgot about it until I prepared this year. But the Gemara in the Darim says, a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that, what would have happened had the Jewish people not sinned? Okay, now presumably we're talking about the sin, let's say the sin of the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, which is, let's say the one of the most significant sins that we as a people have committed. So says the Gemara, a fascinating thing. Ilmale lo chatu Yisrael. Or Imali Chatu Yisrael. Had the Jewish people not sinned, Lo Nitan Lahem Ella, they would have only been given the following books: Chamisha Chumshei Torah, V'Sefer Yehoshua Bilvad. Fascinating statement. Had the Jewish people not sinned, they would have only been given Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Sefer Yehoshua. Okay, why not the rest of the books? They wouldn't have been necessary. And somehow it seems that the sin that we committed at the Egel Hazav, left such a deep impact on our neshama that for eternity we needed these lessons from Nevi'im. We needed these other works. We needed these other books of Nevi'im to help us along the way. Had we not sinned, had that impression not been made on our neshama, we would not have needed all of these books. Now it's interesting. So this Chamisha Chumshei Torah, I understand why we need, right? Chamisha Chumshei Torah, That's the basis of our religion. Why Sefer Yehoshua? The Gemara says a fascinating thing. Why? What's special about Sefer Yehoshua that we don't have in the other books? So writes the Gemara, She'erka shel Eretz Yisrael hu. Because Sefer Yehoshua teaches us about the value of Eretz Yisrael. It's true that you have statements made in the Torah, that's true, about Eretz Yisrael. But the book that really entrenches in a Jew, the love for Eretz Yisrael, the Chibas Ha'aretz, Erica, the value of Eretz Yisrael is Sefer Yehoshua. Why? Because in Sefer Yehoshua, we're going in. Right? We're going in. We're conquering Eretz Yisrael. We're settling Eretz Yisrael. It's the 14 years of Yerusha v'Yeshiva, conquering and settling the land of Israel. So you have to read that narrative in order to understand, in order to really appreciate what Eretz Yisrael is and how we got it. So that's the benefit of Sefer Yehoshua. So in Sefer Yehoshua, we would have had the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, we would have had. But the rest of the books of Tanakh, we wouldn't have needed them. We need them because we have this negative impression on our neshama from this chait, from this sin that we committed, and therefore throughout history, throughout the rest of history, as Jewish history unfolds, we have to constantly be rectifying that idea.
The negative sin of the egel, you're saying, would have stopped us from doing all those other big averas after, like, the chait of the spies.
Again, I'm not... I don't know. It's not clear in the Gemara. Had we not sinned at the egel, would we not have sinned at all? I mean, we might have still sinned, we might have still done things wrong. What would have happened, what wouldn't have happened, I'm not sure. It's an interesting, it's an interesting point. The Gemara doesn't say, or it doesn't, entertain of, how would history have played out had we not sinned,
But if you didn't have that sin of the Egel,
right,
then it appears from what you're saying that you wouldn't have to have saved right. Yehoshua, because we would have just walked into
Yehoshua.
We didn't have 7 years.
Yehoshua, we would have needed. The Gemara says Yehoshua, we would have needed. We wouldn't have needed all the other svarim.
Right.
Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Yehoshua, we would have still needed.
We wouldn't have had 7 years worth of conquest. Originally, Hashem was going to help you, and you were just going
okay.
through.
Okay. I'm not sure. It's not clear. That's not clear that would have been the case. I'm not sure. We might have still had to, had to go through that period.
I don't know how literal the Gemara means this. You also have to say that we would have had a concept of a Sefer Yeshua. I don't know if we need the word for word the way it is now. I mean, we don't know how it
okay.
would have played out.
All right. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Know. Yeah, maybe. So, okay, so the basis of how to explain, many of these ideas really comes from a Gemara in Tainus. I learned this Gemara actually this year with my students at DRS. There's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan bumped into his nephew, the son of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were brothers-in-law. That didn't end very well, for those who know the story. But Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were brothers-in-law, and he bumped into his nephew. And his nephew was a very sharp kid. He was a very bright kid. The Gemara says in Tainus in source number 4, V'su ashkechi Rabbi Yochanan liyinuke de Reish Lakish. He found this his nephew, the son of Reish Lakish, the Yosef Amar, and he was he was saying over the psukim that he had studied in yeshiva. You know, he was rattling off the psukim. So, what pasuk did he say? Ivelas a pasuk in Mishlei, Ivelas Adam tesalif darko v'yal Hashem yizaf libo. That if when a person makes a mistake, it throws him off course, and God gets angry. Pasuk in Mishlei. So Yosef Rabbi Yochanan v'kametama. So Rabbi Yochanan said he was bothered. He said, that, you know, this idea of God getting angry. You know, God getting angry in a way. He says, is it possible? Meika midi diksive biksuve. Is it possible that there's something that's recorded in ksuvim? Right. This is Mishlei. Mishlei is ksuvim. Is there something that's recorded in ksuvim? Delo remize beoraisa. Is it possible that there's something recorded in ksuvim that's not hinted to in the Torah? Is that a possibility? Right. He questioned this kid, almost testing him. Like where do we have this idea in the Torah? Amar lei. So the kid responded, right off the bat, of course, absolutely. Atu ha milo remize? He says, is this not hinted to in the Torah? Of course this is hinted to in the Torah. Where? Right? Precious membeis. We just had it. V'aksiv, the pasuk says, v'ayetze libam, right? When the brothers found the goods back, replaced in their sack, the brothers of Yosef, they were petrified. V'ayetze libam, their heart jumped out of their skin. V'ayecher du isha lachiv lemor, and they were so scared, and they turned to each other and said, Mazos asa Elokim lanu. What is this that God has done to us? Right? God must have been angry. He must have punished us. So we see the concept of God getting angry. We see that hinted to in the Torah. And that's the basis for this idea in Ksuvim. And Rashi there in the Gemara explains, what does this mean? What does this mean that you have something that's stated in the Torah, but it's hinted to in the Ksuvim? Rashi explains, Moshe be'oraisa she'achumash hu yesod nevi'im uksuvim. He says the basis of Nevi'im Uksuvim is the Torah. The Torah is the basis of Nevi'im Uksuvim. Ubekulan yesh smach limtzo min ha-Torah. And he says everything that you find, it doesn't mean every single word that you find in Nevi'im Uksuvim, right? But every major concept, every major idea, every theological truth, every philosophy that you find in Nevi'im Uksuvim is not new. It's not new to Nevi'im Uksuvim. It's something that appears somewhere in the Torah. It appears somewhere in the Torah, and maybe it's just elaborated upon in Ksuvim, elaborated upon in Nevi'im Uksuvim. But the basic idea, the kernel of truth, appears in the Torah as well. And he says that's what's going on in this Gemara. Right? Rabbi Yochanan was not just testing his nephew, to find some cute hint in the Torah. He was teaching him that everything that you find in Nevi'im Uksuvim, every single thing, every idea, every big idea always comes from the Torah. Everything is based on the Torah. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that perhaps this is what the Gemara means in Brachos that we started with. When the Gemara says that Nevi'im Uksuvim, which are hinted to by the words, Asher Kasavti, right? The word Lahorosam, the word Lahorosam teaches us that everything was given at Har Sinai. Right? The fact that they're all included in this pasuk, everything, even Nevi'im Uksuvim were given at Har Sinai, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it does not mean literally that Nevi'im Uksuvim were delivered to Moshe at Har Sinai. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu knew Sefer Yehoshua. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu knew Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Malachim. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know these things. They hadn't happened yet. So what does it mean that all these things were given to Moshe at Har Sinai? It means the ideas, the concepts, right? The theology, the philosophy that's espoused, the morals and the values that we come to from the Nevi'im Uksuvim, these things are not new. They're all based in Torah. You'll find them somewhere. There's some pasuk that delivers the same idea, that teaches us the same message.
So then why would you need to learn of him?
Why would you need to learn of him? Good. So sometimes, unfortunately, we don't glean all the necessary, lessons
but
from the Torah.
It's in the Torah.
It is.
No,
it is.
If
right.
That's what the case is. Then you have to just do the Torah again.
Correct. Well, the Chazal say, Hafochba the Kulaba. Right? You can keep going over and going over, and you'll find it there somewhere. So Nevi'im makes it a little bit easier for us, because sometimes it's easier when you read the idea through a story, through a historical anecdote, through something that happened, So sometimes we can glean that a little bit easier. It really helps us. It helps us along the way, you know, to learn these things. Meaning, you're right, technically, if a person would just study the Torah and do it properly, and, you know, again and again and again, and glean all the, you know, you could probably glean all the lessons that appear in Nach from the Torah. But it's not so easy. It's not so easy to do that. You know, just from doing Shneimer Vecha Targum or from listening to the Leining in Shul, you know, it's not going to happen. But it's there somewhere. You know, all the ideas are there somewhere. So that's the Yesod that he says, and he says that's why, you know, we have this Gemara in Megillah telling us that in the Nevuah Shehutzruchah LeDoros, that's what was written down. Right? The prophecies that were necessary for eternity, that were necessary for generations. Why? Because that's what the Torah is. The Torah is not an archaic history book. The Torah is a book of lessons, of values, of ideas that we as Jews need for eternity. And he said that's exactly what Nevi'im is. The things that were necessary only at that time, in those times in history, those were left out. Those were not canonized. Those were not included in the Sifrei Tanakh. Because those were not as important for eternity. Those were necessary for the time being. Sometimes a Navi needed to come along and tell people for right then and there that something needed to be done. But we don't know about that. They weren't recorded in Tanakh. Those stories were not written down because they weren't necessary for us to know. But the stories that were necessary for us to know, the stories that we need for generations, for eternity, those are the stories that are from things that are based in the Torah, that are just further explained in Nach, that were further explicated, further analyzed in Nach. And he says, this is fascinating, one of the final psukim in all of Nevi'im. Okay, it's actually three psukim from the end. In all of Nevi'im. Okay, the last Navi is Malachi. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, by the way, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was known as a Bucky. He was an absolute expert in all of Tanakh. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, he says, you know, the third to last pasuk in all of Nevi'im, what does it stress and say from Malachi? If you look at source number 6, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe my servant. It's not just something cute. Right, Malachi was not just, just reminding us, oh, by the way, you know, don't forget to study Torah. Don't forget to do Shnayim Mikravecha Targum. Don't forget to listen to the Leining. That's not what Malachi was telling us. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, this is coming full circle. Because that's exactly what Tanakh is, that's what Nach is about. That's what Nevi'im is. All of Nevi'im is all about just further exploring the ideas that we find in the Torah. So when Malachi, at the end, all the way at the end of the Nevi'im, tells us, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, he's telling us that this is really what it's all about. Everything that you've learned until now is all just goes right back to the Torah. Everything is there. It's all coming full circle. Now, that being said, so it's clear, you know, it's clear that that Nevi'im is really just building off of the Torah. It's just the next step. We have the lessons in the Torah, we have the ideas in the Torah, and now we're building on them, we're building on those ideas through the Nevi'im. And we're exploring those ideas through the Nevi'im. So, you might think that they're exactly the same. So it's clear in Chazal that they're not exactly the same. Right? And this is something that's important to stress, that the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that when it comes to the Torah, we know that every word in the Torah was given to Moshe by Hashem at Har Sinai. Ad kan, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, U'Moshe Omer V'Kosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the words, and Moshe Rabbeinu recorded all the words that God dictated into the Torah. And that's why we believe there's no extra words and no extra letters. Everything was dictated exactly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. Moshe was the scribe. He wrote down everything verbatim. When it comes to Nevi'im, that's not exactly the case. Nevi'im were not written. They were written by Nevuah. But what is Nevuah exactly? The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Kach mikublani mibeis avi abba. One of the Amoraim said that he learned from his grandfather. Signon echad ola lakama Nevi'im. That there was sometimes one vision, one perspective, that was shared with several Nevi'im, but ve'ein shnei Nevi'im isnabim b'signon echad. But those two, three, four, five Nevi'im, who all got that same vision, all prophesied slightly differently. They all conveyed the message in their own tone, in their own inflection. They all did it slightly differently, depending on who they were, how they interpreted the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them. So Nevuah is an image, is a vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the Navi. The Navi now has to interpret it and has to deliver that to the people. So the Nevi'im delivered it properly, but every Navi did it in his own with his own flavor. They interpreted it with their own flavor. So the words in the Nevi'im, while the ideas are based on ideas in the Torah, the words of the Nevi'im come from the Nevi'im themselves. They don't come, these words were not dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They still have Kedusha, because they still came from Nevi'im, right? So they still have kedusha, they still have sanctity, but they don't come directly. They didn't come directly from Hashem, word for word. Yeah.
Also, because also in the Neviim, I believe the Gemara of Bava Basra also says that in some of the Neviim that they didn't write
true. Books. Right. Right.
By another Navi, it was written.
Correct. Right. Could have been later. Right. So some Nevi'im wrote their own books, correct? And some Nevi'im, you know, didn't write their own books, but other Nevi'im wrote their books. So they were all written with Nevuah, but again, Nevuah is not verbatim. Nevuah is not a word-for-word communication. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's, by the way, as the Rambam says in several places, in Mishneh Torah, he says in Amar Nevuchim, that that's the major distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the other Nevi'im. Moshe was unique because Moshe Rabbeinu was Pe'el Pe'a Daberbo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Rabbeinu is communication. His Nevuah was Pe'el Pe'. His Nevuah was word for word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with him just like I'm speaking with you today. Right? That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with Moshe Rabbeinu. With all the Anavim, that wasn't the case. They were asleep. It was a dream. It was a vision. They saw a vision. It came from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but they saw it and then they had to interpret it and they had to deliver the message.
So I understand that with respect to a lot of what you're saying. You go back to Gemara that you began with, mm-hmm. in terms of differentiating between the Nevi'im that we know of and the Nevi'im that we don't know of.
Okay.
The Nevi'im that did not
survive.
Right.
Right.
So with respect to certain parts of Navi, there are aspects that are very in the moment, very
true.
You know, that are not, that you can't necessarily say are, you know, have universalistic truths that carry us beyond generations. So if you look at it from that perspective, question would be, why do we include that? So when we talk about the Torah, every letter is so important.
Right.
Even if we don't understand why it's there, there may be, you know, 10 different lessons at a different level. But how do we apply that to various specific items in Nach that have no universalistic application?
So if you're editing it,
you would say, I don't really, you know, it
right.
might be a nice historical nugget, but it's certainly not anything that I, quote,
unquote, need. So I think that the Gemara wouldn't agree with that. And if you look through Nach, much of what the Mefarshim do is they try to glean, you know, whatever lessons they can from all of the nuggets, all of the historical ideas that appear. You're not going to find that. You're not going to find Mefarshim that say, oh, this is just, you know, something historical, you can ignore that. You know.
Oh, I'm not suggesting that you're
right.
fine, but if you just look at the text.
Well, anytime. I mean, if you just look at the Torah, you can say that you can
yes,
say the same thing.
Yes, we understand the Torah on a different level.
True.
Than not, that's
right.
just the point that you made. But I'm
right.
saying once you decide, once you view it that in a different way,
right.
then you begin to become a little more critical in terms of why is X here? Why do I have to learn about all
but again,
the different nubbies in Shoftim
right.
that were all terrible people and that
right.
were, you know, why do I have to all
the distinction that these two Gemaras were drawing though is specifically a distinction in wording. That's the distinction. The distinction is the wording of the Torah comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The wording in Navi comes from the Nevi'im. That's the distinction the Gemara is drawing. The Gemara doesn't say that there are extra things, that even though in the Torah there's nothing extra, in the Nevi'im there are extra things. That's not, the Gemara never said that. And I think the Gemara in Megillah is clearly stating the opposite. Right? If things were communicated in Nevi'im, they were communicated to us because they are eternally important. They are universal truths. Now, you know, sometimes you have to figure out what those are and what the messages are, but the distinction here, I think, is specifically in the wording, is the wording of the Navi, the wording of the Torah. So the wording of the Torah is word for word from Hashem. The wording of the Navi is not word for word from Hashem. The Nevuos that were included must be eternal. Those things must be universal lessons. And it's our job to try to figure out, or the job of the Mefarshim before us, to try to figure out what those lessons are. That's what I think the distinction is. Yeah.
So, I mean, if Navi's treated at a little bit lower level than Torah, right? If
right.
you're gonna rank it.
Right.
Is there a reason why in schools in general they treat Navi like really?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Not to disparage Navi, but
yeah.
they treat it very low, even below Gemara.
Right. Right.
It's like, oh,
right.
you have to learn Navi, you know, 1 year.
Right.
And
right. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. I have some thoughts. I don't want to take too much time on this point, but it's a good question. One thing I'll say is that it's a problem. You know, I agree it's a problem, and I think schools do need to do a better job of teaching Nevi'im. That's number one. I think that the idea behind it, again, I'm not necessarily agreeing with this, but I think that the idea behind it is that It's much, you know, I think that this is where it comes from. I think it comes from the from a place of you know, we have limited time, we have limited resources. We have to decide, you know, how to best invest our time and our resources. So things like Gemara, which are crucial for us to properly understand the Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh, that is much harder to learn later on your own. You know, a person can pick up a Navi, you know, even with a little background. You know, you have a basic background in Hebrew, I can pick up a Navi, I can pick up, you know, Mefarshim, and I can read, I can get a basic understanding of what's going on in Nevi'im. When it comes to Gemara, that's not really the case. Now, but now, Baruch Hashem, we have Art Scroll and we have things like that to help us, which weren't around, you know, when this whole system began. I think that's where it comes from. But even with Art Scroll, you know, it's limited what you can accomplish. You know, it's much easier to accomplish and to glean more from Nevi'im on our own with less of a background than it is in Torah Shebaal Peh on our own with less of a background. That's where I think it comes from. Again, I'm not saying I think that a better job has to be done. And certainly people should, you know, if the yeshivas are not doing it, you know, people should be doing it on their own. Obviously that's easier said than done, especially with kids, as soon as they get out the door and they're done. But it's a good point. It's a good point. And, you know, yeshivas have to be doing, you know, more, but it's hard. You know, there's limited time, there's limited resources. As is, we have a dual curriculum, and the kids are spread very thin, so it's hard to give them everything. But it's a good point. Huh?
That's
yeah. Okay. So now let's shift a little bit in the last 11 minutes or so to Sefer Yehoshua. Okay? So till now was just a basic introduction to the study of Nach. Obviously there's a lot more to say, but we're trying to move a little bit quicker. Now Sefer Yehoshua. So there's a great description by the Gemara. Some of you may have heard this description of Yehoshua. Now we obviously know that Yehoshua is a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Yehoshua is continuing on the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll discuss that in a moment. If we think about the relationship of Yehoshua to Moshe, right? Well, you know, if we think about the relationship, you know, how we would rank them, so to speak. So the Gemara in Baba Basra has a fascinating comment. The Gemara says, it quotes it from the Zekanim Sheba Oso Hador, the elders of the generation. They described Moshe and Yehoshua as follows. They said, where it's underlined in source number 9, Pnei Moshe ki Pnei Chama, the face of Moshe is like the face of the sun, Pnei Yehoshua ki Pnei Levana. And the face of Yehoshua is like the face of the moon. Some of you may have heard this comparison. Moshe is like the sun, Yehoshua is like the moon. Now, at face value, at first glance, this seems to be a real knock to Yehoshua. Right? I mean, he's the guy who's taking over for Klal Yisrael. And we're saying, you know, you're not bad, but you're not really, you know, you don't really hold a candle to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, the moon is cute, but it's a moon, right? I mean, how much light does the moon give? The sun illuminates the whole world. The moon, you get, okay, you know, maybe you can see, you know, maybe you can make something out on a street sign if you have just the light of the moon. But that's it. It's pretty schwach. So what are we saying here? Are we knocking Yehoshua? Are we saying...
The moon's light.
Ah, very good, very good, right. Very good. So obviously what's meant here by Chazal is that the moon receives its light from the sun. The moon reflects the light of the sun. The moon doesn't have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. And so too what the Gemara is communicating to us is that that was Yehoshua. Yehoshua was, in essence, an embodiment of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a continuation of the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu, albeit a little bit different. Every person is different, and every person is unique. But he was really just the embodiment of Moshe Rabbeinu, carrying on the legacy of his Rebbe. If you look, it's interesting. You know, why was Yehoshua chosen? Why was Yehoshua chosen? Well, what made him so special? So, if you skip to source number 11, this is a fascinating episode in the Torah, but in Sefer Bamidbar Perek Chav Zayin, you know, Moshe turns to Hashem. And we usually have Vayidaber Hashem or Moshe Lemor. Here we have Vayidaber Moshe Hashem Lemor. Yeah, Moshe turning to Hashem. And Moshe says, you know, God, you know, you have to take care of something. Yeah, I'm going to die, and Bnei Yisrael needs a new leader. Bnei Yisrael needs a new leader. You know, they have to have someone who's going to lead them into the next stage of their existence. Yifkor Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar Ish Al Ha'eda. Right? God, who knows everyone, you know everybody and exactly what they're made of. You got to appoint someone. Inshallah, you got to appoint someone to lead the people. Asher yitzei lifnehem, asher yavo lifnehem. It's going to really lead them into war, front lines. Asher yotzim, asher yaviem. Velo tiyadas Hashem katzon asher ein lahem roa. The people of God should not be like a flock without a sheep, like sheep without a shepherd. You need a shepherd. The sheep need a shepherd. So that's you need someone. You need to appoint someone. Says Rashi, what was Moshe thinking? That's what Moshe was saying. But what was Moshe thinking? Moshe was thinking, you know, what's the parsha that came right before this? Benos Tzlavchad. Right, Benos Tzlavchad. So what happened with Benos Tzlavchad? The daughters came and they said, we want our father's portion. We don't have any brothers, we want our father's portion. And we, in the end of the day, Hashem said, they're right. You got to give it to them. And Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking to himself, wait a minute. They're getting their father's portion. Hey, my son should be getting my portion. I'm going to die. I have nice sons. Right? They should be taking over for me. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Right? If you look at source number 12, he says at the end of the first line there, Higi Shasha et ba'at tzarki. He says, the time has come for me to demand my needs. Sheyirshu banai es gedulasi. My son should inherit my position, my greatness. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo kach also b'machshava lefanai. Hashem says, you know, that's not what I'm thinking. I know that's what you want, but that's not what I'm thinking. Kedai hu Yehoshua litos har shimusho shelo mash mitocha ohav. It's Yehoshua's turn. You know, your Talmud Yehoshua, he's going to be the one to take over. Why? Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, shelo mash mitocha ohav. Because he never left the tent. He never left the tent. And now if you look back at the Pasuk in Shmos Lamed Gimel in source number 10, how does it describe Yehoshua? V'dibar Hashem el Moshe ponim el ponim. That's where the Rambam gets it from, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe face to face. Kashi yidabar isha re'ehu, just like a man speaks to his friend. V'shov el ha-machaneh, Moshe returned to the camp. And who came with him? U'mesharso Yehoshua bin Nun na'ar lo yamish mitocha oha. Mesharso, his servant. Right? The one who served him, the kid who served him. Yehoshua bin Nun was a nar lo yamish mitochol. He never left the tent. What do you mean never left the tent? That means he was completely and utterly dedicated to his Rebbe. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu could teach him, he wanted to soak up. Right? Lo yamish mitochol. It wasn't just about shir. You know, you have some guys. You know, they go to shir, but then after the shir, they have no communication with their Rebbe. Right? One of the most special things I learned in Ner Yisrael, one of the yeshivas I learned in, one of the most beautiful things about Ner Yisrael is that all the Rebbeim live on campus. It's a big campus, a beautiful campus if you've been there, and all the Rebbeim live on campus without exception. There's not one Rebbe that does not live on campus. Right? It's such a beautiful thing. Because, you know, after shir, you can walk your Rebbe home. Friday night, all the Rebbeim open their homes to the boys. They come over for an Oneg Shabbos every single Friday night. Singing, Divrei Torah, question and answer, conversation. Right? You know, sometimes you have a Rebbe, the Rebbe comes in 5 minutes before the shir, he gives the shir, and then he leaves. Right? You don't see him. But here, you talk to him. You can talk to him about regular things, about the weather, about his apartment, about whatever. You know, just schmoozing as you're walking, as you're going. That's what a Rebbe is. Yehoshua wasn't just interested in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't just interested in Moshe Kibbel Torah Mesinai and Masorah LeYehoshua. You know, Rebbe, I want to hear the Shir, I want to hear the Gemara, and then I want to go home, or you got to go home. That's not what I want, right? But I want to learn from you. I want to walk with you. I want to understand everything. Lo Moshe Mitocha, he never left the tent. He never left Moshe Rabbeinu's side. When he ate, he was there, right? Everything at all times, Moshe Yehoshua was there. That's what he was. In fact, there's a medrash. It's brought in the Yalkut Shimoni. I think it's brought in another place also, but in source number 13. So it's a similar conversation here where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe that I want Yehoshua to take over. He gives a slightly different reason. Not a contradiction, but they really go hand in hand. But he says, at the end of the first line there, in source number 13, Ata yodea shaharbe sharascha Yehoshua. He says, you know, Yehoshua really served you a lot. Veharbe chalak lecha kavod. And he gave you a great deal of kavod. What did he do? V'hu haya mashkim umariv beveis havad shalcha. He would get up early and he would stay late in your yeshiva, in your base medrash. L'sader hasaf salon uporis hasamachat salos. What would he do? He would set up the benches. He would spread out the tablecloths. That has to be the next leader of the Jewish people? The next leader is the guy who sets up the benches? Yeah. Because he sets up the benches for the shir. He spreads the tablecloths for the shir. That means that there's no moment when Moshe Rabbeinu was around that Yehoshua wasn't there. He was always there. He was there in the morning before his Rebbe got there. He was there in the evening after the Rebbe left. He was there at all times. Everything that Moshe could teach Yehoshua, whether it was in Torah, whether it was in Hanhaga, how to lead, whether it was how to be a person, right? How to be an individual, how to be an Eved Hashem, as we're going to learn in the first pasuk of Yehoshua. That's what Yehoshua wanted to imbibe, wanted to soak up from his Rebbe. Every little detail, every little drip and drop, he wanted to get from his Rebbe. That was Yehoshua ben Misharso, Yehoshua ben Nun, Na'al Yomish Mitocha Ohel. And in that schus, Yehoshua now takes the reins from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an amazing thing if we think about it. You know, this was so crucial. This was so crucial. You know, there's a Maharal. I tried to find it inside. I saw it quoted, but I couldn't find it inside. But the Maharal says that, you know, it was supposed to be that this was all supposed to be one long process. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Eretz Yisrael Beis HaMikdash. That's how it was supposed to be. One long process. Not other Mefarshim say similar things. Rav Hirsch says something similar in the Haggadah. Some of the Mefarshim on the Haggadah say similar ideas. That's why in the Haggadah, you look, when we talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim, we mention a few times, we mention Matan Torah, we talk about Eretz Yisrael. Why? This was all one process. Yitzias Mitzrayim, we became a nation. We're coming out of Mitzrayim. We get the Torah in the Midbar. Now we're going into Eretz Yisrael. We're building the Beis HaMikdash. That's all one process. But Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu sinned. Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong. Whatever he did, whatever, you know, whatever exactly his chait was, but Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? You can't come into Eretz Yisrael. You can't come into Eretz Yisrael. But now another leader is going to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. But Yehoshua had to be a leader that emulated Moshe Rabbeinu. He had to be someone who was continuing the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu, because this was still part of the same process. This is not, Sefer Yehoshua is not something new. Sefer Yehoshua is really just a continuation of the end of the Torah. Because he had Yitzias Mitzrayim, they got the Torah, and now they're going into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. This is all one long continuation. So Yehoshua had to be the leader that was Lomash Mitocha Ohel. He had to be that person that literally learned everything from Moshe Rabbeinu, was just carrying on that lesson, that legacy. Because he was continuing the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now this mission was a slightly different mission though. Because if you think about it, Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is the point that's made by many of the Mefarshim and Chumash, the Netziv makes this point in one place, and Rav Hirsch makes this point in several places, that throughout the Midbar, we know that that the existence of Bnei Yisrael was a completely miraculous existence. Everything came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were raised with a silver spoon. Right? Everything came directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't have to worry too much. Hashem took care of everything. Right? They even complained a lot. Right? In the Midbar. All of a sudden, things are changing. All of a sudden now, you know, this is a whole new world now. We're going to come into Eretz Yisrael. We have to fight. We have to conquer the land. Right? This is not just like, you know, going through the desert with God taking care of you and everything is taken care of. Everything is you know, hunky-dory. This is, you got to roll up your sleeves and you have to fight now. And then once you fight, you have to settle the land. And then you have to build the land. You have to plant. This is not something that they were used to. But the message of Yehoshua was that although times are different, and although this mission looks a little bit different, the mission is really just a continuation. And that's why all of the lessons of Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to teach you as well. And I'm going to continue to strengthen those lessons within you, because those lessons of Torah, those lessons of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you had in the Midbar, where you were just floating on clouds and working with the miracles of Hashem, those are still things that you need to work with in Eretz Yisrael. As you conquer Eretz Yisrael, as you settle Eretz Yisrael, as you plant, those are still ideas that you need to work with. So those lessons that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Bnei Yisrael for all those years were the exact same lessons and messages that Yehoshua carried on with him, teaching Bnei Yisrael, strengthening to Bnei Yisrael as they experienced a whole new world, a whole new mission. So in reality, it's part of the same mission, it's a slightly different mission. But this was Yehoshua, the leader, taking over from Moshe Rabbeinu and coming into Eretz Yisrael. Mirtz Hashem, next week, we'll begin the Perek Aleph of Sefer Yehoshua. Yeah?
That consolidates what the in the Torah.
Sefer Yehoshua, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it was not just about
Eretz
Yisrael. Good. Very good, very good, very good. Yeah. So Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll start from Yehoshua Perek Aleph. Like I said, we'll be reading the Psukim inside, but many of the Mefarshim we'll be discussing outside, and we'll try to cover at least half a Perek next week. Mirtz Hashem. Thank you for coming.
I have a question as you were talking. So what do we know about Moshe's children?